The scripture lesson this morning is from Luke 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. This is from the Living Bible. After these words, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. These were his instructions to them. Plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers to help you, for the harvest is so plentiful and the workers so few. Go now and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, or a beggar's bag, or even an extra pair of shoes. And don't waste time along the way. Whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. If it is worthy of the blessing will stand. If not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a village, don't shift around from home to home, but stay in one place, eating and drinking without question whatever is set before you. And don't hesitate to accept hospitality, for the workman is worthy of his wages. If a town welcomes you, follow these two rules. Eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick, and as you heal them, say, "The kingdom of God is very near you now." But if a town refuses you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe the dust of your town from our feet as a public announcement of your doom." Never forget how close you were to the kingdom of God. Verses 16 to 20. Then he said to the disciples, "Those who welcome you are welcoming me, and those who reject you are rejecting me, and those who reject me are rejecting God who sent me." When the 70 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning, and I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and to walk among serpents and scorpions and to crush them. Nothing shall injure you. However, the important thing is not that demons obey you, but that your names are registered as citizens of heaven." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And our sermon lesson today comes from the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Hear now these words. "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. 'By all means,' the king of Aram replied, 'I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took from the king of Israel read, 'With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy.' As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, 'Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See, he is trying to pick a quarrel with me.' When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message: 'Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent out a messenger to say to him, 'Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed.' But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?' So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went out to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. And as the man of God told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. The reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. How many times have we heard that saying, it's the small things in life that matter or count? Or how many times have we heard the saying, don't sweat the small stuff? Yes. It's the small things in life that matter. Don't sweat the small stuff. And oftentimes when people are having trouble in relationships, I'll always say to them, it's the small things that you can do for one another, not the big things. It's those small things that have so much power. Well, today we hear 2 scripture readings, the one that Nancy read from Luke and mine from 2 Kings. And we hear about miracles taking place in unexpected places. Specifically, the story of Naaman where, you know, he was told to go wash in the River Jordan. And the River Jordan was just a small, insignificant river to all the other great bodies of water he had seen and worked at as a king and as a warrior and a soldier. And it was this very simple Jordan River where he was caused. Lord said, go and wash yourself there and you will be healed. And then we get from our gospel lesson today, the disciples who also were facing a great need, and God commissioned them to go out. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. And he says, I am sending you out like lambs amidst wolves. But you notice how simple that Jesus wanted the disciples to go out, carrying nothing usual, but just keeping their lives, their belongings, things simple. You know, the story of Naaman is probably one of my favorite stories. And so I always ask myself every time I read it and preach about it, what are the good news that we can get from that story of Naaman's healing? Well, let's kind of back up a little bit. Naaman had a problem. We were told that he was this valiant warrior, but his problem was that he had a dreaded illness, that being leprosy. And he lived with that. And as we know from studying the Old Testament, that lepers were people that were people stood away from, or lepers were people that people thought were full of sin, and that's why they got that disease. And we're told in the story of Naaman that even though he has leprosy, there is a solution. There is healing that can happen. And a solution that was provided by the grace of God if Naaman would just do it. That was to go down to that Jordan River and wash 7 times in its muddy banks. Just do it. Humble himself in simple obedience in that small, insignificant river. But you know, Naaman resisted the idea. Naaman thought that he should go before the prophet, Elisha, and there should be some type of grand gesture that the prophet Elisha, he said, should kind of get his hands and wave them over him, and then he would be cured of his leprosy. But Naaman had a hard time grasping what God wanted. And you know, sometimes it's the seemingly unimportant things that God uses the most. often to accomplish great things. And Naaman, in his own mind, thought he had the solution, how his healing should occur. You know, it's interesting. We sometimes in our human lives do the same thing with solutions. I'll never forget, after having heart surgery, my doctor saying a few things. And one of the things that he said was, as you are recuperating, okay, you need to walk at least 30 minutes, 3 times a week. That's what it's going to take to get you back on your feet and get going. How many of us have been told something by a doctor like that? Or he said, you also need to make sure for your future, you need to change your diet. And, you know, you have to look at the type of red meats you're eating and things like that. And also, you need to take a baby aspirin every day. Anyone taking a baby aspirin every day for something? All right, yeah. Simple things. And, of course, at that time in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm done with my surgery. I'm healed. I'm going right back to where I was doing and how I was doing. And, you know, I landed up flat on my face. And I'll never forget going back there and him looking at me and he's saying, what did it take to walk 20 minutes a day? And I just looked at him and I said, that seems too easy. Isn't there something major you can do or some big strong pill that's going to help? And he looked at me and he said, this is what you do when you have the kind of history that you have. You need to be walking. You need to change your diet. And you need to make sure you're taking that baby aspirin. It's like I'll forget going back to him and just feeling like a fool afterward, thinking, well, you know, that's really simple. And how did I end up in this place again? Well, I didn't follow the doctor's orders. And the reason why I didn't was because it just seemed too simple. Anyone ever do that? Doctor tells you to do something, someone tells you, and you think, that's just too easy. That can't be right. Well, that's what Naaman found as he confronted this problem. He looked at the small things and he wrote them off, when those very small things are the things that could give him life and cure his leprosy. You know, Naaman wanted the cure, but he wanted control over how it was going to happen. He wanted Elisha the prophet, like I said, to wave his magic wand and voila, healed. Now, Naaman was told that he had to wash not one time, but 7 times in that river. And you know, Scripture said that he walked away in a rage. He was outraged. And he almost walked away from the cure. But he had some servants and some loving friends who talked some sense into him to go back and do what God had commanded. Have we ever had to have sense talked into us? Or vice versa? Do you know anyone that you've had to talk sense into to do those things? But I wonder how Naaman felt the first time he went down and came back and nothing had changed. And I wonder how many the second time and the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time and probably that sixth time thinking, you know, this is just not going to work. It's not going to be true. How many times have we gone through periods of time with our own relationship with God where we do it once or we pray twice or we pray 3 times or we pray 4 times and 5 times and nothing happens and we start to lose heart? And then we hear those words from God saying, yes, lay it at my feet one more time. And when we do so, his blessing occurs. You see, as Naaman persevered, blessing came. And being obedient to God's grace is what we need to do and what Naaman did. He surrendered to the will of God. And so, when we earnestly seek the solution to take care of our bodies and souls, God blesses us as he blessed Naaman. And when we're obedient to God's solution, sometimes it's telling us just focus on the small matters. And with those small things, we'll get more than we've ever hoped for. Now, let's go to the gospel lesson today. The disciples are not given a small task, they're given a big task. Going to the harvest, told to do something foolish. Don't bring any supports out into this land you're going into. No purse, no bag, no sandals. Now, nothing about purses, but I know my wife won't leave the house without her purse. I always wonder what's in that purse, but it's true. No purse, no bag, no sandals. Rely on the welcome, we're told, that you're given by people. And if you're not given that welcome, shake off the dust from your feet. Don't focus, Jesus says, on your acts, but focus on the rewards in heaven. The harvest is plenty, laborers are few. Now, my friends, how can we do for Christ sometimes the tasks that are put in front of us? How sometimes can we pray or ask for healing for those things that affect our bodies and our minds and our souls that seem so unhealable? How does God equip us when we follow His way and His word and we go out there and we don't have those normal supports, when we don't have the sandals or the shoes or the bags and things like that we're accustomed to help us? How do we just go out there and put ourselves for God without all these comforts? Well, like Naaman and his disciples, it requires two things. And this is kind of the crux of what these scriptures tell us today. In order to grasp this, number one thing that we need to do is we need to each abandon our ideas of what should be. When we go before God and we present Him a situation or we're listening to His will and His work, we need to turn that off in our heads of this is the way it should be and listen to the way that God would have it. And the second thing today would be to wash ourselves in humble obedience. To wash ourselves in humble obedience. When God gives us a directive, let's follow it. Because He's our loving Father, Lord, and Savior. And His words are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. Now, on this holiday weekend, I can't help but think about the things in our country that need resolved or need protected or solutions and healings. And we go back to 2 Chronicles, this scripture here. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Here's a small, simple word of God, a solution put to us as a country in the year 2014. We are those people called by His name, and we're to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. And then there's that solution, that beautiful promise. Then I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I love the 4th of July weekend, I love Memorial Day weekend. I love those opportunities where we have to come together as a church family and pray for our nation and display our patriotism. And I think we need to take it one step further now and make sure that we're humbling ourselves and seeking His face and turning from whatever the wicked ways that we have are, because God will bless us. But I think of that whole scripture there, one of the most important things is, like I said, we have our solutions in our minds, but we have to remember that we need to seek His face and we need to turn from our wicked ways. And God will heal us. God will heal our country. It's so important.
small matters, sometimes with big consequences for those who accept his word. And so I ask you today, what is your need? What do you need Jesus to come into your life today and heal? What do we need as a church family to be praising God and honoring with today? What do we need to be placing at the foot of the cross? Have we put some of those off because maybe they sound too simple or maybe even silly? But my friends, the solution is out there. It's already on your hearts, on your lips, because Jesus places his words, we're told, right inside of our very being when we call him into our lives as Lord and Savior. Both scriptures today have some small matters with big consequences. And the question for us today is, will we receive God's word or not? And I pray that as we come forward for communion today, I pray that God, not only God's word, but his presence in the sacrament would come to us, into us, and lead us to that humble trust and obedience. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you so much for the scriptures. We thank you so much for enlightening our paths this morning. And as we celebrate and honor this country and those who have served and are serving, Lord, we just ask that you would continue to bless us. And Lord, in our own walk with you, that we would see that it's not our solutions, but it's yours. And that you would encourage our hearts to be steadfast in humble obedience. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.